You're taking all the risk.
I'll be doing what I love and what I'm good at. I have a degree in landscaping and one in business management, and I've worked in the field for 14 years. I'm confident in my skill, enough to offer this knowing you're going to be happy with the result. If you let me try.
God, girl, you really know how to make a pitch.
Now Darby flashed a smile that danced into those deep blue eyes. It's part of my charm.
If I agreed, when would you start?
Inside her head, Darby pumped fists in the air. If you say go, I can have the slate and builder's sand I have on hold here this afternoon.
On hold?
Darby's smile only pumped up brighter. Optimism's also part of my charm.
I don't know why I'm more nervous about this than you are, but I am.
There was something, Emily thought. Something about the girl.
Okay, Darby, we'll try it out.
I want to yell yay, but the baby fell asleep. I'll wait until I'm outside. But she gripped Emily's hand. You won't regret it.
Lord, honey, I hope you don't. Not a chance. I am really damn good at this.
Aren't you going to need help?
Stone has to be heavy.
Stronger than I look, but I've got a helper in mind. Joy and Frank said Roy Dawson's a good worker.
He is, Emily agreed. Affable, too.
He mostly does odd jobs. He's prone to wander from one to the next when the whim strikes him. So they said. Anyway, I talked to him yesterday. He said he'd give me a hand, so I'll give him a call.
Darby pushed to her feet.
Thank you, Emily. I'm going to send you my client list. You can contact anyone on it. I shut down our webpage when I sold, but you can still get to some of it. I'll send you the URL.
She blew out a breath.
Now I'm going to get started. She bolted for the door. Stopped. I'm going to make you a low-maintenance showpiece.
Emily sat, a little shell-shocked, and heard the echoing,
Yay!
As Darby raced back to the cabin. Chapter 9. Roy Dawson proved a good and affable worker. He sang or whistled as he worked, didn't haggle about salary, and had no problem taking cash as payment as casual labor, until Darby's business license came through. A beefy guy with a scraggly beard, he wore more scraggly hair under a faded New Orleans Saints gimme cap. With his help, Darby removed the old gravel, widened the existing path, leveled it, poured the builder's sand. Though she wanted the path to look organic, she rented a wet saw to trim some of the slate to suit her. The first time she used it, Roy had shaken his head.
I've seen girls use saws before, but never seen one use one of those. You're a caution, Miss Darby.
He wouldn't drop the miss, so Darby ran with it. And since the man was as strong as a pair of oxen and didn't quibble about sweaty work, they had the path nearly done in 2 days.
Here come the police,
Roy said as she laid the level on the next piece of stone. Darby looked around when the cruiser pulled into the driveway. The man who got out had a strong build, a lot of gray shot through his hair. He didn't wear a uniform, but jeans and a t-shirt. Rising, Darby brushed off the knees of her own jeans, hoped she didn't smell too bad after a day of hauling and placing stone.
Hey there, Roy. This is McRae. I'm Chief Keller. Emily's husband.
Nice to meet you. She pulled off a work glove to shake. I'm grateful for the opportunity here.
I haven't had a chance to get down, take a look before this. You're damn near done with the walk. It looks good. Miss Darby says it won't have grass growing up in the cracks. She's gonna plant stuff there instead.
Irish moss. You'll have Irish moss planted by somebody named Darby McRae. It's lucky. We'll finish the stone today.
I have to say, it makes a difference.
Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet.
She grinned at him.
Well, what I see looks pretty good. I came down to take a look and to let you know the town planner said your business license came in.
It did? Oh my God. Oh my God, Roy, we're in business! She threw her arms around him, made him blush bright red, then swung away to dance.
She's a caution,
Roy told Lee.
I can see that.
It took most of a week to lay the patio, mortar the joints. Then she dug in, literally. In Roy's truck, She'd trade her car in for one of her own when her first job was finished. They loaded her selected plants in the bed. For this job, she dealt exclusively with Joy and Frank. Nothing too fancy. She selected the pots, the annuals, and because it struck her as just right, a good-sized wind chime she'd hang on a branch at the edge of the woods. She ended each day filthy, sweaty, and blissfully happy. After each completed project, she took pictures. She needed to build her website again. She dug, planted, placed, pruned, edged, spread the yards of mulch Roy hauled in his truck. He stood back as she placed a pot on the front porch.
It looks a picture, Miss Darby. I swear I can't hardly believe I had a part in it.
You sweat. And you bled a few times. You had as much a part as I did. That's why you're going to be my first official employee.
Oh, now, Miss Darby.
I'm not going to take no. She knelt to fill another pot with the flowers she'd picked. You already know I'm a good boss. I know you're a good worker. You've got a good eye for this work, too, which is why I'm giving you a dollar raise over what I've been paying you, starting tomorrow.
You said we're done here today. We got no work tomorrow.
We will have. Please, God. If we don't, you're going to go with me to look at that house I'm thinking about. If I buy it for the business, I'm going to need to build a greenhouse and an equipment shed.
You move so damn fast, my head's in a spin most of the time.
You can fill out the paperwork tomorrow. She looked up at him. She knew he more or less worked when he pleased as a man of all work, had a girlfriend of 4 years, a mother he visited nearly daily. I couldn't have done this without you. Not just the muscle, Roy. I needed the company, your eye, and your connections. So you be here at 7 sharp, ready to work. You're High Country Landscaping's most valued employee.
You ain't got but me.
I will have, but you're the first and the best. See you tomorrow.
Don't you work too late, Miss Darby.
Just going to finish the pots, give them a good drink.
It sure looks a picture,
he repeated, and got into his truck. She planted in the quiet, just her and the breeze off the lake, the scents of the heliotrope, the dianthus, the sweet alyssum in her pots wafting up. Once she'd finished, watered, wandered, cleaned up, because dear God, she was a mess, maybe she'd call Emily, ask if she would come down and see how it all looked. When she placed the pot, she sat, rested her chin on her fist, and looked out at the lake. Lots of boats now on this late afternoon as March moved in. So much green in the woods, on the hills, and wildflowers celebrating. Yeah, she'd water, clean up, call Emily. Even as she pushed to her feet, she heard the voices. Emily's laugh, pure and happy. A man's with it, warm and easy. She looked down at herself, thought, crap then, oh well. Then walked down to meet them. The man, not the chief, had his arm slung around Emily's shoulders. They looked at each other as they walked, and the love, affection, mutual delight just shined. Taller than Lee, easily 6'3", and somewhere in his 30s by her gauge, a lot of dark hair tousled every which way by the breeze. Jeans covered long legs she imagined could eat up the ground, but he paced himself to Emily's stride. Probably the lawyer nephew come home from Raleigh. No one had mentioned said nephew was gorgeous. He glanced over then, spotted her, gave Emily a little nudge.
Darby! Zane, this is Darby McCrae, my nephew Zane. He's barely gotten home and I'm dragging him out. We were outside when Roy drove by. He called out you were done.
Nice to meet you. She looked down at her hand, decided it was clean enough, and offered it to shake.
You too. She didn't drag me, but apparently Emily's been waiting until you finished to take a look.
I know. First client I've ever had who never looked, peeked, changed the plan, or wondered when I'd finish. And now you're 10 minutes early.
Early?
Emily repeated. I still have some tools out and I haven't swept up. But since you're here, just remember, if there's anything you don't like, I can change it. If you hate it all, well, I'll rip it all out, then kill myself. But that's on me.
Pills, the rope, or the bullet?
Darby couldn't see Zane's eyes through the dark lenses of his sunglasses, but decided they smiled. The lake's right there.
Might as well drown. Let's take a look, Em. See how long Darby here has to live.
God, you two, now I'm nervous.
But she rounded the curve in the road. Darby didn't hold her breath, exactly. She only mentally crossed her fingers for luck as Emily stopped, stared.
You see the...
and broke off whatever she'd wanted to say when Emily waved a hand at her. Then Emily pressed both hands to her mouth as tears swam in her eyes.
Oh God, please be happy, tears.
You did this?
Zane murmured. Roy and I did this. Emily, this time the words cut off when Emily threw her arms around Darby.
Oh, I'm filthy and sweaty and smelly. Shut up.
Emily just hugged tighter.
You have no idea. No idea.
So Darby hugged back, looked up at Zane over Emily's shoulder. No idea's good, right?
Definitely.
Zane saw the bungalow, so familiar, transformed. The same structure, sturdy and simple, in a setting that turned the sturdy and simple into the charming, the welcoming. The stone path meandered, the word that came to mind, as if to say nobody had to rush. Flowering shrubs swept along the porch, others kind of danced in and out of the woods. He spotted a pawpaw, one of the few he could name, and heard music. He scanned, found the long copper tubes of a wind chime swaying in the breeze. Flowers spilled out of pots on the porch. They just looked happy.
You painted the porch chairs.
It wasn't in the plans, but once things started going in, they looked a little dull. The lake can get that deep blue color, so I thought we'd bring it into the scheme. Emily drew back, kept her hands on Darby's shoulders.
I got so used to seeing what was always. We'd update the interior, you have to, but I never thought about this. My boys, you met my boys.
Yeah, they're great. Gabe helped us out a few times.
They'd start to tell me what was going on, and I'd shush them because I wanted to come to it finished. I knew it would look better. I never expected it to look amazing.
She turned to Zane.
You've got your phone on you. Can you take some pictures we can send to Grams and Pop? My parents are going to flip, just flip.
You haven't seen the back patio.
I forgot about it.
Emily let out that rolling laugh, grabbed Darby's hand.
What's growing in the walkway cracks?
Iris moss, Darby said as they walked. It's already taken a good hold. You can walk on it, it's easy to maintain, and it'll fill the cracks, add to the natural look of the walkway.
Everything smells so good.
I added some fragrance.
Oh my God, Zane, look at this.
Emily broke away to step onto the slate patio.
You laid the stone?
Darby nodded at Zane. Roy and I.
Roy's no stonemason.
He's a good worker and a fast learner.
You built a window box. I love it. For herbs.
Still beaming, Emily brushed her fingers through basil, oregano, sage, parsley, thyme.
I know herbs even if I can't grow them.
You can. I'll teach you. I thought some of the guests will want to stay in, cook. It's a nice kitchen. So you can tell them to use the herbs if they want. And that rosemary against the corner of the house, it's sheltered there and will grow to a nice-sized shrub. It'll smell great and you can use it.
You painted the chairs here, too,
Zane commented. So it flows. I used bigger vertical planters here because it's more open. They're all, like the porch pots, the window box, self-watering. They have a reservoir for water, a wicking basket to prevent root rot. Housekeeping only needs to check them every couple of weeks, fill the reservoir as necessary. And we can switch out the plantings seasonally.
The little picnic table and benches?
All Roy. It gave Darby pride to say so. He sanded, stained, sealed. It doesn't look showroom new, we didn't want that. But it looks fresh.
Get some pictures, will you, Zane? I'm just going to...
As she wandered off, Darby took a step after her. Zane laid a hand on Darby's arm.
She needs a little alone.
Okay.
She loves this place. All of it. We all do, but for Emily, it's always been home, and legacy, and pride, and responsibility. You added to that. It looks great. More, it looks right, and... This is a compliment, as if it's always looked like this.
Darby felt a little misty herself. That's a perfect compliment. He pulled out his phone, then took off his sunglasses to frame in a shot. Her heart knocked once. Silly, but there it was. You have her eyes.
Sorry?
Emily. You have Emily's eyes.
Walker Green.
Brody has his mom's eyes in his dad's face. Gabe, his dad's eyes in his mom's face. Zane took a couple of shots, lowered the phone.
I never thought about it exactly that way, but you're right.
The whole family's happy you're moving back.
It seemed like time. And you're moving here. Bigger change for you.
It seemed like time. She liked his smile. It started slow, ended a little crooked. Like his nose, she thought. He'd broken it along the way. She knew how that felt. Emily came back, heaved a big sigh.
Okay, Zane, I have to ask you for a big favor.
Sure.
I need you to go back to the house, get a bottle of wine.
I have wine. Emily angled her head at Darby.
Enough for the three of us to sit and have a conversation?
Conversational wine, Darby nodded. I can handle that.
Great. Zane, give her a hand. I'm going to sit here and bask while you do.
I love that she's basking, Darby said as they went inside. I like clients to kind of check things as we go, but she just wouldn't. She got the wine and didn't have to tell him where to find the glasses, the corkscrew. You've put in some time in the bungalows.
You don't live with Emily and not work the bungalows. Family business,
he added as he pulled the cork. Family business, she understood. But the live with Emily came as new information. What about his parents? And now that she thought of it, she'd heard not a word about any sibling of Emily's along her chatty journeys. They took the wine and glasses outside where Emily sat with a dreamy smile at the picnic table.
I'm coming back tomorrow, unless I'll be in your way, and taking some pictures for the website.
You won't be in my way. After pouring the wine, Darby sat. Plus, I'll have the potting soil swept up by then.
Emily took a sip of wine, studied the glass. I know a little about wine, and this is nice. I know nothing about flowers that don't come in a vase. I know a little about trees and can recognize an azalea.
She took another sip.
I know business, customer service, raising kids. Adding business to what my eyes tell me, I know once I put photos on the website, add them to the brochures, I'm likely, very, to see an increase in interest in rentals for this bungalow. Considering that and everything else, I'm not going to let you bear the expense for all this.
Darby's shoulders went from relaxed to stiff. Zane saw the change from across the table.
We had a deal.
I'm changing the deal, Emily said easily, and I have my lawyer right here. If you're as good a businesswoman as you are a landscaper, and I suspect you are, you have all your receipts and a good accounting of the materials, the time, and labor that went into this project.
We had a deal, Darby said again.
Apparently, Zane tossed back, we're renegotiating.
We are. And here are the terms. I'll reimburse you for the materials. I expect you, being a licensed contractor, got them at a discount. I'll take the discount.
Those shoulders relaxed just a little.
Now, you'll also have an accounting of the cost of labor.
No, Darby picked up her wine.
Yes, you do. I'm willing to negotiate the bottom line on that.
Roy's the first employee of High Country Landscaping. I pay him. Zane held up a hand.
You hired Roy? Officially?
He's going to fill out the W-4 tomorrow.
She performs miracles,
Zane commented.
We'll negotiate the cost of labor, Emily continued, and if we come to terms, I'm going to contract you to do the rest of the bungalows.
Darby's mouth fell open, shut as she pressed her lips together, closed her eyes.
Oh, that's playing dirty. I play to win.
You won't beat her,
Zane commented.
Trust me.
I want that so much, she pointed at Emily. You know how much.
I do.
And I've got better, dirtier. I've seen the way you look at my house. You finish the bungalows, it's yours. I want you to do to my house what you've done here.
God damn it! Shoving up from the table, Darby circled the patio. She dragged off her cap, raked hands through her hair. It's so beautiful, so perfect, so ridiculously naked. I've got a dozen different designs in my head already. This is so not fair. She dropped down again, huffed out a breath. Half. Half the labor. 50-50. I can agree to that. And the paint for the chairs, and that labor, the pots, the plants, and labor, the window box, the wind chime, those are gifts. They're gifts, and that's that.
Done.
Darby stared at the hand Emily held out. Really?
Really?
When they shook, Emily held on another minute.
You get me the accounting tomorrow. How soon can you start on the next bungalow?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Don't you want a day off?
No. No, I really don't. I've been working on designs in the evening.
Optimism.
Tomorrow. When Darby's eyes filled, Zane sighed, looked skyward.
Not you, too.
This means everything to me.
Now she gripped Emily's hand in both of hers. I made a difference for you here, and I will with all the others.
But this is my life, and you've just made a difference in my life.
Honey, you're going to need more than Roy once people around here see what you can do.
Yeah, I know. I'm hoping to steal Gabe from you this summer.
Gabe? A smile flickered around Emily's lips, even as surprise filled her eyes.
Really?
He's got an eye, good hands, an interest, and a work ethic I imagine he got from you. We'll talk about it. Meanwhile, I maybe need a lawyer, too.
Darby shifted to Zane.
Do you handle real estate?
He'd spotted the tattoo, found it nearly as fascinating as her eyes.
Not so far, but things change. Why?
I've got my eye on a place up for sale. If it works out, don't I need somebody to handle the property search thing and the settlement, all that?
Wouldn't hurt.
You're hired. I was going to take one more look, but I'm going to go ahead and make an offer tonight. I feel like all this is a sign. The Hubbard place, right? I heard you've been looking at it. You remember that place, Zane? This side of the lake, closer to town, and back down that steep lane?
Yeah, vaguely.
The house isn't much, but I don't need much there. What it has is 5.8 acres, and I need that. Greenhouse, equipment shed, and so on. It'll work. Anyway, the bungalows. They won't look like this.
Emily jerked back.
But I love this. I want this. For this one. You don't want your bungalows, those homes away from home, to all look the same, to be uniform like a development. Each one should be unique to its topography, its view, its setting. You'll have, we'll say, a look, a flow, but not cookie cutter. I've got some designs worked up on my laptop. Why don't I get it? You can look. You could pick where you want me to start next.
She always 0 to 60?
Zane wondered.
In my limited acquaintance, yeah. Sorry, if you don't have time now, I can bring them to you tomorrow morning.
I've got wine, got my boy. I've got time.
Great. Be right back.
Zane frowned after her.
Does she ever wind down after hitting full speed?
Not that I've seen.
Emily tipped her head to his shoulder.
I'm so glad you're home, Zane.
He brushed his lips over her hair.
Me too.
Zane had the guest room in the rambling old house, his usual spot on visits. He knew Emily and Lee would be perfectly content to have him live there open-ended, but he'd find a place. If he was back, he was back, and needed to reset his roots, so to speak. Gardening terms, he thought, as he tried to settle in for the night. Probably came from the landscaper. He needed to start looking at houses. No condos like he'd had in Raleigh. Time for an actual house.
Hell, he could hire the landscaper to do whatever with a yard if he ended up with one.
A view of the lake, an absolute must. Reasonable proximity to his family, to town where he'd need to set up an office. It appeared the landscaper, again, would be his first non-family client in Lakeview. She sure as hell made Emily happy, and that earned her major points in his book. Happy enough, after the family celebration meal, man, Emily could cook, that she'd dragged the whole family down to the bungalow. And there in the moonlight, they'd been treated to the lighting Darby had added. The quirky lamppost with its copper cap, the walkway lights, little lights under the eaves, front and back, that added charm and practicality. She'd come out, of course. Cleaned up, and she cleaned up well. Of course, she'd looked just as interesting in a sweaty t-shirt and dirty jeans.
Interesting, he thought as he stared up at the ceiling, rather than a beauty like his sister, his aunt.
The short, not quite red, not really brown hair exposed the little tattoo on the back of her neck. An infinity symbol. Had to be a story there. She had a wiry kind of build, and he figured it suited her, as she seemed wired altogether to him. Eyes so blue they read kind of purple in a face of sharp angles, and a nose slightly, just slightly off angle. Broken at some point, he thought. He knew how that felt. Lost her mother in the last year, Emily had told him. Had sold off, packed up, and moved. That took either guts or a streak of recklessness. So did the initial deal she'd made with Emily. Maybe she had both. He had a feeling Lee knew more, but hadn't asked. He expected Lee would have run her background just as a precaution, and since he'd watched Lee with her, had to assume Lee hadn't found anything to worry him. The boys liked her. Britt liked her. Silas, too. The baby and the dogs apparently considered her their new best friend. So Zane decided he wouldn't worry either. Plus, anyone who could talk Roy Dawson into a structured job had some sort of magic going. So he'd put all that to bed, even if he couldn't seem to do the same with his brain. He rose, went to the window. He could see the lights across the lake, could pick out the security lights glowing on the house where he'd once lived in fear and misery. Someone else lived there now. Not the someone else who'd initially bought it once Graham and Eliza had sold it, but another someone else. He hoped any residue from his life had long been banished. Eliza had, to his knowledge, never come back to Lakeview. He knew where she was. Once she'd served her term, she'd moved to Raleigh, and there visited her husband in prison every week. Clockwork. Never missed. Zane had never run into her, something he was grateful for. Raleigh proved big enough for all of them. Or it had. In the last few months, he felt it closing in on him. Had begun to feel, however good his life, however satisfying his work, he'd never be fully shed of them if he could turn a corner one day and run into Eliza. And more, Graham would very likely make parole the next time out, and that was coming right up. That had crawled under his skin and stayed there. For a long time, he'd believed he couldn't live in Lakeview again, live with the memories of that fear and misery. Then he'd come to believe he needed Lakeview and the good memories, the people who made his real family. He'd missed Audra's birth by an hour because he lived in Raleigh and couldn't get back in time. He'd played basketball with Brody, but had never been to one of his games. Only made it to a couple of Gabe's baseball games due to the luck of timing on visits. The kid had an arm on him. Standing, looking at the lights, Zane picked up the baseball he carried. A replacement for the one he'd long ago worn down. They wouldn't come back here, he thought. There was nothing for them here. There could be everything for him here. All he had to do was take it and make a life. He went back to bed, the ball in his hand. Rubbing the stitching, he listened to the sigh of the breeze from the lake, the whisper of it through leaves gone green with spring, and slept. Chapter 10. He didn't expect to run into Darby again so quickly. Lakeview wasn't Raleigh, but it held more than 5,000 people, not counting visitors. Still, within a couple of days, he spotted her car on the lake road, slowed to give a wave. She rolled to a stop, gesturing, so he stopped. Since he had the top down, he waited for her to lean out her window.
Figured you'd be digging or something.
I have been. I left Roy and Gabe clearing and leveling the walkway. Stone and sand coming this afternoon. I can't get some of what I want from Best Blooms, so I have to head out to one of the bigger garden centers. I want a good-sized weeping dogwood, for one thing. He tipped down his sunglasses.
You're going to fit a tree in that car?
No, I'm buying a truck on the way there. And just kept studying her over the tops.
You're buying a truck on your way to pick up a tree?
I ordered it over the phone this morning.
You ordered... I have to stop repeating what you say just because what you say is weird.
It's not weird. They had what I want. They're starting the paperwork. I go in, boom, boom, drive off and get the tree and so on. Anyway, are you still my lawyer?
I could be.
I need a quick minute. Let's pull over. Since she did, he, baffled, followed suit. Got out as she did. She wore brown cargo pants, strong boots, an unzipped red hoodie over a pale yellow tee. Okay, the Hubbards accepted my offer. I signed the contract this morning.
0 to 60, he thought again. You've had a busy morning.
Best kind. So can you contact the realtor? Lakeview Realty, Charmaine's handling it. And do what lawyers do? That's a really excellent car, by the way. I don't really know cars, but I can see that's a blow-up-your-skirt kind of car.
Whose skirt? Since I'm not wearing one, whoever.
She shifted to study his sleek silver Porsche. Yep, that's an excellent single guy's car.
I'm a single guy.
Yeah, I need a truck. But if I could also have an excellent car, that one would be top of the list. Anyway, can you handle this deal?
I can, conditionally.
Now she tipped down her sunglasses, peered over them with suspicious eyes. Do you take after Emily? He'd liked her, Zane thought, because she'd made Emily so damn happy. Now, he realized, he just liked her.
Maybe she takes after me. Here's the deal. I do it pro bono.
I don't need...
I do. I've spent the last 8 years as an ADA. I haven't done much general law. You'd be practice, and I need it. A simple settlement's an easy way to slide in. I just finished getting office space in town. Haven't even hung out my shingle, so to speak. I need the practice, kind of like you had to get your foot in the door with Walker Lakeside Bungalows. So it's pro bono.
Maybe.
And you can pay me back with a free consult.
Now those suspicious eyes, and they were kind of fabulous, showed some interest. On what?
I'm figuring on buying a house. I'm also having a busy morning, heading out to look at one. I looked at one already, and that's probably it, but I'm looking at a couple more first.
She held up a finger. It's going to be the one way up on the ridge on this side of the lake. The one that's like it's built into the hill. All the glass, that sloped, uneven ground with the big drop-off in front, the view people would commit murder for.
Well, he thought, son of a bitch.
Why? Because not unlike your car, it's amazing. I looked at it myself, just to look, because it wasn't what the business needs. It may have pulled at my guts, but I need the spread of land, the location nearer town. Plus, there's the stickiness of the price. They're only selling because he accepted a transfer to London. Their kids are grown, she's an artist who can work anywhere, and she has cousins in Brighton.
How do you know all that?
They told me. People do that. Tell me. Am I right?
Maybe. Probably. I'm thinking about it.
After tapping her sunglasses back up, she beamed at him, megawatt style. You should buy it so I can landscape the crap out of it. It's got nice work now, but I could make it as magical as the view. Anyway, consults are free all the time for everyone.
Do you make everyone dizzy?
I don't think so. I've got to go. Charmaine, the same one who's handling the house you should buy. We'll figure out the rest later.
Darby?
She paused, one hand on the car door.
How'd you break your nose?
Ex-husband. You? He usually lied if someone noticed and asked. A knee-jerk thing. Said line drive or some other fantasy. But the word came out of his mouth.
Father.
She let out a sigh of air. You win that one. She hopped in, drove off. Apparently people did tell her, he thought. And more, she was right. He should buy the house. Screw looking at a couple more when that one had, right again, pulled at his guts. It looked like he'd be handling two settlements. He pulled out his phone, stood right there on the side of the road, and made Charmaine's day. He went back into town, signed the contract, picked up some pizza, and took Britt to lunch in the empty office space of the building he'd bought right on Main Street. They sat on the floor, drank Cokes, ate pizza.
We can do this a lot more at an actual table once you're really in here. It's a good spot, Zane. Smack on Main Street, front entrance, the little porch. More than enough room for your office, a receptionist, a law library, and maybe a conference room upstairs. You even have the little kitchen.
It'll work. We'll see if I will.
Our great-grandfather was a town lawyer, she reminded him. Another Walker family tradition.
Sitting in her bare feet, her quietly professional gray dress, she glanced around.
And you bought a building. And a house. That's the one I can't get my head around yet.
Me either. I don't do that.
Buy houses?
Go on impulse. The building, that's different. But I just bought an entire house, a freaking big-ass house, on impulse.
It's a great house, or it looks great from down here. I've never been up there.
It's amazing, but still, it's a lot of house for just me.
It's not just you.
Before she pointed, she licked sauce off her finger.
You come with a big family, and we expect you to entertain us lavishly and often.
Huh. I don't think I'd have done it if I hadn't run into the landscaper.
Darby? I like her. She's...
Searching, Britt circled her Coke in the air.
Infectiously appealing.
That's one way to put it. Accurately,
he decided.
But what's she have to do with it?
Nothing, really, but she starts talking and you start seeing what she's saying. Or you don't, but you're nodding along in your head. She bought the Hubbard place this morning, asked me to handle the deal for her, and before I know it, I'm telling her about this place and the house, and she's convincing me I should buy the house. She's buying a truck on the way to buy a tree.
Okay.
He snagged more pizza, wagged it for emphasis.
No, I mean, she ordered the truck over the phone, like I did this pizza. And she's buying it just like that, picking up a tree and coming back. She's got Roy and Gabe working.
Oh, yeah, no school today. Well, if she convinced you, good for her. Because you're going to live on the tall hill, work in town, be right here. I missed you like crazy.
I missed you too. And all of this, more than I let myself admit.
Reaching over, he laid a hand on hers.
He'll most likely make parole this time.
I know. 18 years, Zane. It's a long time. Maybe not long enough for you and me, but a long time. She's never come back, not once. Lee would know if she had, and he'd have told us. There's no reason he'd come back.
She still visits him. Every week.
She loves him.
At Zane's instinctive sound of disgust, Britt pushed on.
She does love him. Remember the way, even after she'd rolled over to get a reduced sentence for herself, she testified for him at his trial? Swearing under oath what they had between them wasn't violence but passion. It's not healthy. It's not genuine. But it's real to her. Maybe to them.
It's obsession.
Yes.
As she spoke, Britt turned her wedding band around her finger with her thumb. A gesture, Zane thought, he'd seen her make before when they spoke of their parents.
Yes, it is. And they have a terrible, destructive dependence on each other. We were just byproducts. Just status to them.
It was always about them,
Zane added.
About how they looked to outsiders and their own sick connection.
Oh, yeah. I doubt they gave either of us a thought.
You're probably right.
Did you come back now because you believe he's going to get out?
That's part of it.
Protecting me again?
Always will.
That goes both ways.
When Britt went back to work, Zane wandered around the empty office space. He could probably use some of his condo furniture, currently in storage. His desk would work in the reception area. Once he hired a receptionist or paralegal, once he had actual clients.
Christ, what was he doing?
He'd worked as a prosecutor his entire career. Sure, he'd handled a few outside legal matters for friends, and he'd taken care of whatever Emily or Britt needed, but his focus had been making sure bad guys paid the price for bad acts. And he'd been good at it. Now? Wills, divorces, DUIs, civil suits. Well, there was a need. But who knew if he'd be good at it?
He walked to the window, looked out at the shops, the restaurants, the people taking advantage of a pretty spring day.
Some he knew, some he didn't. He didn't know the guy on a stepladder over at the breezy cafe hanging baskets of flowers. Did he need to do that? He had the nice little porch, so maybe he needed, what, a bench, a flower pot or something? A good way for Darby to trade off the settlement work. Then he wouldn't have to think about it. Maybe he'd put his leather sofa in reception, or in what he'd use as the law library or conference room. He supposed most of his condo furnishings hit the same note as his car. Single guy. Maybe he'd buy himself a seriously lawyerly desk for his office, get some lawyerly art for the walls. Walls he had to have painted something besides investment property off-white. He'd worked in a tight, overworked space for so long, he wasn't quite sure what he'd do with so much room. Or time. He'd just have to find a way to fill them both. He watched a woman, really pregnant, with swingy blonde hair, push a kid in a stroller down the sidewalk. He started to turn away, get back to the business of figuring things out, when it struck him. He rushed to the door, stepped out on the porch, and thought, "Holy shit!
Ashley Kinsdale!"
The woman glanced toward him, did a double take. Her version of holy shit, he supposed.
"Zane!"
He strode down to the sidewalk and into her laughing hug. She smelled like baby powder, he realized, and weirdly, the one inside her gave him a little kick.
"Geez, Ashley, look at you.
Baby boy, coming your way this April.
You look great. Seriously.
I'm fat, but I feel great. And you, I'll just say, you grew up just fine. Oh, Zane, it's so good to see you. I heard you were coming home."
"I didn't hear you were. Didn't you move to Charlotte?"
"Yeah, and it's been good. But I really missed home, missed my family, and I realized I really, really wanted to raise my kids here. Nathan, that's my husband, got right on board."
Pretty as ever, he thought, her eyes still a laughing blue.
"You're happy."
"Stupid happy. We just opened Grandy's Grill. I'm Ashley Grandy now. Nathan's a chef, and when we decided to move back, we decided we'd go for the dream of opening our own place. You have to come have dinner one night. Remember the pilot?"
"Sure. I took you to dinner there once before."
He broke off, winced, pressed a fist to his chest.
"Zane, are you all right?"
"It just comes back on me now and then. My broken heart."
Her face cleared with a laugh, and she added a friendly swat.
"Listen to you. Grandy's Grill took over the pilot. New menu, new look, new. Got us a hell of a bar, too. Good selection of craft beer. You come, Zane."
"I absolutely will. And who's this lovely lady?"
"That's my Fiona. Fee, say hi to Mr. Bigelow."
"It's Walker,"
Zane corrected as he crouched down.
"Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry.
No problem. Very pleased to meet you, Miss Fiona."
She smiled at him, a toe-headed girl who couldn't have seen her second birthday, then wagged the doll she held in his face.
"My baby."
"And almost as pretty as you."
Still crouched, he looked up at Ashley, thought of a night, a kiss under a starry sky and swimming moon.
"You're a mama."
"I sure am. And you're a lawyer."
"You don't happen to need one, do you?"
"As a matter of fact, we do."
Her hand circled over the mound of her belly as he'd seen pregnant women do.
"With a second child on the way, Nathan and I want to make a will and name a guardian. We just don't want to think about it, but it's the right thing. If anything happened to us, we want to know our babies are looked after."
"That's smart and responsible and simple."
"We can get it done, then you can forget about it." "Can I make an appointment?"
He jerked a thumb toward the building.
"I just got myself office space this morning. I'm not set up yet."
"How about this? Give me your phone and I'll put my number in. The restaurant's too. When you're ready, you can give me a call. That'll give Nathan and me more time to talk it through anyway."
After she added her contacts, she beamed at him again.
"Are we your first clients?"
"Actually, after my family, you're number two. I bagged another a couple hours ago."
"No moss on you. Zane, come here."
She cupped his face, kissed him softly on the lips.
"You were the first boy I loved.
I want you to meet Nathan. He's the last man I'll love.
Seeing you just made my day, Ashley. That's the truth.
Then you make good use of the rest of it. Now, Fiona and I and Caleb, or possibly Connor, unless he's Chase, she added, giving her belly another rub, have to go earn our keep. You call me, you hear? And if you don't come into our place for a beer, I'll want to know why.
Count on it. Bye, pretty Miss Fiona.
He watched her go, hair swinging, looked back at his little porch, his open door. What the hell, he thought. It was all going to be just fine. Within a week, he'd made real progress. Since both Emily and Britt held very definite opinions about paint colors and decor, he let them pick, choose, debate over shades, form and function, then went with what he wanted anyway. He hired painters, bought furniture in Asheville and online, debated selections of art in local shops, and asked Darby to take a look at his porch. Do something about it. A few days later, he drove up to meet Micah, his IT guy for the office system, and found his porch decked out with a bench that looked as if it had been hewn from a sturdy oak and polished by elves, and a glossy blue pot full of yellow and blue flowers trailing greens. Somebody else didn't grow moss, he thought, as he stepped out of the car. And damn if it didn't look just exactly right. He hoped to hell he didn't end up killing the flowers. He walked up, pulled the folded note she'd taped to the door. She'd listed the names of the flowers, which he'd never remember, clear instructions for how to handle the self-watering deal, and, as agreed, the cost of the bench.
Thanks for leaving me the key. The porch pot and flowers, the money tree with pot in reception, and the bamboo plant for your client restroom are pro bono. If you don't like the indoor plants I added, you're just wrong. You have that really tiny patio out the back. You should get a small umbrella table, a couple of chairs, add some small planters. Think about it. Oh, and I like your paint colors. DM.
He started to unlock the door, see what the hell she'd gotten him into plant-wise, then turned as someone called his name. Not Micah, but Micah's mom. He'd had dinner at her house two nights before, really caught up with Micah, Dave, Maureen.
Hi. Hey, do you want to come in, see what's what? Micah should be here in 10 or 15.
I would. She wore a simple rose-colored dress, good heels. Her hair, shorter than it had been in his youth, waved around her face. He remembered thinking as a teenager that she was pretty for a mom. She still was.
I love that bench. What a nice entrance.
The landscaper.
She's a clever girl, isn't she? I've been out to see the bungalow she finished and the one she nearly has. I might have to have a talk with her myself. Oh, Zane, this is really nice.
She stepped in, scanned. He'd done the walls in a pale gray. Though he'd yet to hang any art, he'd put his old desk so it angled in a way that whoever sat behind it could face both the door and the big window. Rather than the sofa, which he deemed better used in the law library, he'd used his living room chairs, oversized, dark gray. The plant, note taped to the pot, grew about 4 feet tall with a thick, braided trunk. It stood in a corner where the light spread over it. He pulled the note off.
It's a Mexican fortune tree, or a money tree. It'll like the light, is low maintenance. Offices with plants are happier, have better air quality, and this one will bring me good luck.
Darby McRae again?
Yeah.
It's a nice touch. I know you're busy setting up, and when Micah gets here. So,
she reached in her purse, pulled out a manila envelope.
What's this?
My resume.
You're... really?
You're looking for someone to take that desk who has some office experience, who can handle a computer, and hopefully has some experience in a law office. I worked at a law firm in another life 1 million years ago.
I didn't know that.
1 million years. In this life, I've helped Micah set up his IT and security business. And it's all in the resume. I didn't bring this up at dinner the other night because it wouldn't have been fair. Now it's just you and me.
I didn't know you were looking for a job. How about you're hired?
No, Zane, you sweet boy. You read my resume and you give it the same consideration you do any others you get.
But I know you. I know you're steady. Just like I know that sitting at that desk needs steady. People come in or call and they're trying to end a bad marriage or soothe a neighbor they're pissed at or they just got really bad news from their doctor and realize they never bothered with a will. I know I can depend on you. I could always depend on you and Dave.
Her face took on a stubborn look he didn't know she had in her repertoire.
I don't want you to give me a job because you feel an obligation.
Hell, I want someone I know I can depend on. Say yes, and we'll figure out the salary and the rest.
Read the resume. Contact my references. You can depend on me, Zane, so listen when I tell you to do your due diligence.
Yes, ma'am.
Good. I'll get out of your way. And that?
She gestured toward the money tree.
It really adds to the space.
He supposed it did, for now. Alone, he carried the resume back, glanced in the powder room, saw what he assumed was the bamboo in a little pot. The attached note proved that to be the case and came with instructions. Low maintenance. He walked back to his office, saw yet another note on his new lawyerly desk. This one told him exactly what plant he needed for that space, why, and where. Curious, wary, he looked in the attached full bath. Full, he thought, if a closet could be considered full. But it had a skinny corner shower so the space could be rented as an apartment. No note. But he found one in what would be the law library, another in the stingy kitchen. Frowning, he looked out the equally stingy window to what only an optimist would call a patio. It was, to his eye, a square of concrete. But, yeah, it could hold a small table, a couple of chairs. Might be a nice place to break the day or end it. Maybe. But for now, he went back to his office. Deeper gray there, dignified, because, you know, lawyer. He sat at his newly purchased desk, back to the less stingy window, and opened his best friend's mom's resume. 10 minutes later, Micah wandered in.
Hey, man!
Hey.
Zane glanced up. Micah wore his hair in a stub of a tail, sported a single tiny hoop in his left ear, and a little goatee that actually worked. He wore carpenter jeans and a faded Avengers tee. Hippie nerd, and the look suited him.
You got a tree out there. It's cool.
Yeah, I guess it is. News? I'm going to hire your mom.
Hire my mom? For like what?
For like my administrative assistant.
No shit.
None. You know she worked in a law firm?
Yeah, sort of. Wow.
He dropped down in one of the pair of wine-colored leather visitor chairs, shot out his legs, crossed his ankles over his red Nike high tops.
That's cool. She didn't say anything.
I just read her resume.
My mom has a resume?
A damn good one. You're a reference.
I am?
Micah's grin spread.
Kick my ass and call me Sally.
She helped you get your business going, Sally.
Damn straight. The computer guy wouldn't have gotten off the ground without her. Setting up the books and all that, helping me design the website. Does Dad know?
Micah waved the question away as soon as he asked it.
Sure he does. They're like a unit. This is totally cool news, man. I guess now that I think she's been rattling around some since Chloe got married last fall. All the wedding planning kept her way busy.
How's she doing? Chloe, I mean.
Good. She and Shelly dig the Outer Banks. You know, it's still weird how I dated Shelly a couple times in high school and my sister ends up marrying her.
Things change.
Micah put his fingertips together, bowed over them.
Wise words, my brother. I got a gander at the bungalow the new girl and Roy did and the one they're working on. Man, the new girl is hot.
Darby?
Super hot. Not like your sister hot. And you know I say that thinking about Britt like she's my own sister, only straight and married and a mom.
Yes, fortunately for both of us, I do.
This one's different hot. Britt's like head cheerleader hot. The new girl's like kick your ass if it needs it hot. Like Black Widow, man. Her hair is even sort of red. She's, I can do what needs doing. That's hot.
Huh. It is, now that you mention it.
I'm totally devoted to Cassie, right? My chick's the coolest chick in the universe of chicks. But if I wasn't, I would offer my ass up for kicking with the new girl. So, how about I set you up with some data, some communication, and some security?
Yeah, let's do that.
He hung with Micah a while, answered questions about his needs, shot the bull, watched his old friend work his magic. Then he got his laptop and drafted a formal employee contract with a full job description. He fiddled with it a while, let it sit while he took delivery on more furniture, some office supplies, went back to it, read it over, then emailed it to his new administrative assistant. Now, if he could cop himself a summer intern, he'd be in business. In business herself, Darby stuck her fists on her hips to check the positioning of the chairs, sanded, painted, dry, just placed back on the porch. She'd sent Roy to the next bungalow on the list to start the grunt work of removing gravel while she finished the final touches here. The only uniform element with the first was the lamppost. It gave the cabin symmetry, recognizability to her mind. And she hoped when she finished all of them, Emily would consider names instead of numbers, have signs added to the posts. But the rest? Unique to the space. Flowing, but unique. Now she only had to finish the pots, sweep up, check all the lighting one more time, and voila. She turned at the sound of a car, waited when it pulled into the drive. A woman got out. Young, Darby noted, early 20s. A tough build in jeans, a soft cloud of hair around a face the color of good cappuccino.
Miss McCray?
Darby McCray. Can I help you?
I'm hoping. I'm Hallie Younger. I heard you might be hiring.
I might be. You're looking for work?
I might be.
Hallie offered a smile.
I'm interested in this kind of work. I've got a resume. There's not much to it that applies, but I added in how I gardened with my grandmother every spring and summer since I could walk, and helped my daddy build some fencing. I can do some stonework, too. I built a walk for my parents a couple of summers ago. I'm not afraid of physical work.
You couldn't be in this line. Are you working now?
I'm working at the Lakeview Hotel in the office. I went to school for business, but, well, I just hate it. Not the people,
she added quickly.
It's a good place to work and a fair place, but I don't like being cooped up inside all day every day. I gave it a year because I promised my daddy I would.
So you keep your word. Hallie lifted her shoulders. The hair above them flowed in a cloud of curls.
Your word's no good if you don't. I saw what you did at the other bungalow and now this one. It's what I want to do too. I think I'd be good at it.
Why don't you give me your resume?
I appreciate you giving me consideration.
She took it out of her bag. Before I do, why don't we have a trial? Tell me what you think and why. Darby gestured to the bungalow.
I'm going to say it looks beautiful. And I think you chose that turquoise blue for the porch chairs because you wanted them to pop along with that bright pink on the azaleas.
When Darby gestured to keep going, Hallie took a breath, dived in.
I think you wanted a happy kind of look and went softer with that weeper, the white dogwood. You're using native plantings, and they won't need a lot of fuss. You wanted them to look like they just grew up here on their own. I sure do like the slate and the moss. I used chamomile at our house.
That's a good choice, too. Here, take my gloves. I've still got the pots and planters to do. You do the two for the porch.
I'll be glad to. Which plants do you want me to use?
You choose. I'll read over your resume. Hallie bit her lip.
I reckon that's a kind of test.
See what works for you, then we'll see.
While Hallie worked, Darby sat in one of the turquoise chairs, read the resume. Business courses, solid grades, part-time office work during the school year and summers. She added pictures of the walkway. Nice job. The fencing, some gardens. She walked inside, called a couple of the references. When Darby came back, Hallie sat back on her heels with a look on her face Darby recognized. The sheer pleasure of planting.
They look good. A really nice mix of textures, colors, heights. Good thing, too, as the cabin's booked starting tomorrow. Why don't you help me do the patio planters, then we can clean up and be done?
I'd be glad to.
Great. Darby held out a hand. Welcome aboard.
I got the job?
You got the job. We can talk the details while we plant.
Chapter 11. Zane managed to push Darby's settlement up a full week, but her time still overlapped. To make room for incoming guests, she moved from her bungalow to another until the deal could be sealed. With Hallie giving her 2 days a week until her 2-week notice ran its course, and Gabe pitching in on weekends and after school, after baseball games or practice, they finished 3 more bungalows before she had her house keys in her hand. With Walker Lakeside bungalows fully booked, she switched her crew, she had a crew, to reception, where she wanted to go a little bigger, a little bolder. It required her new Bobcat mini excavator, a lot of heavy lifting, loads of dirt, but she created what she considered an excellent rock garden.
That looks a picture, boss,
Hallie told her, and more of one after a few weeks. We should finish this tomorrow. Best plan is to shift to bungalow 8, no booking until next weekend. We can get the stonework done so no stonecutter noise to disturb any guests. We'll wait on the painting, but should be able to get some shrubs in before it's occupied. Then we start on Emily's place, but go back and forth as other bungalows open, even if it's just a couple days.
The woman works us to death.
Roy shoveled dirt around the roots of a redbud.
Wish I didn't like her so much.
Maybe you wish you weren't so good at the work, Darby tossed back.
I am pretty damn good at it. Always liked flowers and such well enough, but now I dream about them. And what happened just last Sunday? My own mama asked why I didn't plant her something pretty. Can't get away from it.
However he complained, Darby saw on his face that pleasure of planting time after time. Hours later, after shoveling sand, laying stone, digging holes, she drove up her steep lane, parked her truck in front of her little house. What she saw when she got out, stood, circled, was potential. Land to clear, dirt to move, spaces to build, more to plant. A view of mountains going quiet with twilight, a stretch of woods swimming in shadows. And if she walked to where that land dropped off, hints of the lake below. She imagined it, photographs in her mind,